Hello, hello, hello. I'm your Martha Stewart hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to.
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
Goosebumps.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And oh my God, it is July 15th. You would think that the summer would be going by so slow with the state of the world. But Lord, we are flying by as if everything is normal and it is not. Where are the days going, people? Where are they going? And why haven't I been to the beach yet? Oh, well, we all know why. Oh my God, I am so excited for today's episode because I have two beautiful men who are making their mark and sometimes leaving a stain. You see what I did there, boys? In the world of crafting and just in the world in general, Dennis Setta Ducati and Andrew Boza of the Crafty Lumberjacks. Guys, the Crafty Lumberjacks are here. Say hi, boys.
Hi.
Hey.
Hopefully I didn't butcher your names too much, did I?
Like, no, that was perfect.
I was practicing, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard one. It's hard.
So just a little background for the listeners. In Your Mouth listeners, Dennis and Andrew are both actors turned professional crafters who met on the national tour of Fiddler on the Roof. Yes. If I was a rich man, honey.
Yes.
along with coffee crafting and Netflix, they have a love for the holidays and decorating. This love led to their successful and ever-growing blog and Instagram, which aims at giving their followers some quick and easy and affordable inspiration. I'm sure a lot of you out there already follow them because they have all the followers, but they're doing like a lot of great and interesting and fun things on the Instagram as well. Folks, they have appeared on Live with Kelly and Ryan, The Chew, Good Morning America, The Rachel Ray Show, and can be seen on HGTV's Handmade YouTube channel monthly. Yes. Listen, we only have the best of the best here on In Yo Mouth. How are you, boys?
We're good. We're good. It's to finally next.
Yeah.
It is. I have been, you know, kind of being a little bit of a pest trying to just get you on, but you all are busy. You all are busy.
We are. The craft train never stops. We didn't think it would, you know, play out for us as an actual gig, but it has, and it just keeps on rolling.
And we enjoy being pestered, so.
Yes.
I love that. But before we get anywhere, I wanted to wish you happy National Gummy Worm Day, boys.
Yes.
But there's an issue. But there's an issue because you can't eat them because you're vegan.
That's right. Yes. Yes. We're former gummy worm eaters.
You know, and I would say one of the hardest things to give up are like gummy candies. Just because it's really hard to find that texture. And oh my God, they're just so freaking
yes,
good.
Especially like, have you ever had the gummy worms from Disney World? They're like Goofy's gummy worms and they're so good. They're like sugar coated. We can't have them anymore.
They're just marked up gummy worms, but they just taste better because they're more expensive. I don't know.
That's like the brand Sugarfina. No shade. Have you discovered Sugarfina?
No.
Yes. No.
Is that the Disney one?
No. Oh. They're like $14, like three gummy worms in a pack.
Yeah, they're literally just that, Andrew. They put it in like a Tiffany blue-esque box and some nice packaging and charge you $45 for a normal bag of like gummy bears.
I don't know. Just give me like a big sack of like cheap gummy worms. Like that's what I want, you know?
Yeah. There has to be a vegan version out there somewhere, no?
There must be.
If anyone knows of any, like, please send them our way.
You know what? I'm going to do some research and we're going to figure that out. Yeah. Moving right along. Did you know, boys, on this day in our gay history, in 1962 in New York City, Randy Wicker talks listener-supported radio station WBAI into broadcasting a taped program in which 7 gay people discuss homosexuality. Widely publicized in the local press, the program is believed to be the first favorable broadcast on the subject in the U.S.
Wow, okay.
So thanks, Randy Wicker, because I guess without you, we wouldn't be here.
Yes.
Very true. Thank you.
Right? I love giving just like a shout out to, you know, our forefathers and like the gay voices of the past, you know?
I guess that's so important. Thank you for doing that.
To call on them. And, you know, I've learned so much from just these little like one-offs that I do. And there's so much information out there. And the history itself isn't even that old.
Yeah, right. That's the crazy part. And as we get older, we realize like how long ago it really wasn't.
Yes.
Right. I love that. How long ago it really wasn't. But you know, but you know what also wasn't that long ago? Dennis and I have crossed paths in a former life at this point.
Yes.
So a very long time ago, I don't even know what year that was, we were both up for the national tour of The Drowsy Chaperone. And it was down to 4 of us at the end. Me and Mark Della Concha. Shout out to you wherever you are. I miss and love you. And you, and I forget who the 4th guy was.
Dustin Harder, who's known now as the Vegan Roadie.
Oh my God. Hello.
Yeah, 4 of us.
We need to get her on the pod too then.
Yes.
Yes. And after like many a callback and many an hour turning tricks for these people, these casting directors, they chose Mark and you, right?
So weird, because I thought it was going to go the other way. It was either going to be me and Dustin, me and you. I didn't know. Or like you and Mark, I thought looked so well or so good together. But that just goes to show you never know what casting directors are thinking. We can think all of the things and spin our wheels, and you never freaking know.
Yeah, Mark and I were like, we totally got this. We killed this.
Yeah. Right?
And, you know, but yeah, congrats on that a million years ago. And I actually got to do that regionally a ton. That's a show I could have.
As a gangster?
Huh? Pardon?
As a gangster?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I, it was amazing. It was amazing. And that was The Drowsy Chaperone is one of those shows that I could do forever.
Yes.
You know? But I want to know how you end up going from theater to crafting.
Oh my gosh.
Desperation. No.
Sounds like my love life.
I don't know. It was pretty random for us. We were on tour with Fiddler on the Roof, and cast members had kind of encouraged us to start a blog just together, because we were kind of known for being crafty together. We did like Valentine's with cast members, and like Halloween projects and stuff like that. And then they were like, "Oh, you guys should start like a DIY blog." And then we did, and
this was almost 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah, yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. Wait a minute. Why yikes?
It feels like yesterday, and it's just like so bizarre that
time flies.
How long have you been together?
About 10 years. So I guess it started about like 9 years ago, because we've been together, I think, 9 years.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. I mean, so beautiful. So you start this DIY blog, right? And what was like the tipping point? What was like the first, your first, shall we call it, viral moment? Or what was the thing that really kind of put you on the map as the crafty lumberjacks? Would you say?
Well, do you hear the sirens?
Yeah, listen, they're coming for you.
Yes.
They're coming for the craft.
Lock the door.
Hide the glitter,
yes. well, we had done the blog, and we were still working. We were still doing theater gigs. We were doing all of the like side work. You know, we're hustlers, we're New Yorkers. You know, that's what you do. You take jobs, doesn't matter what they are. If you need to pay your rent, you figure out how you're going to pay your rent. Yeah. So we were doing all the side hustles. And we were kind of, every year, we would give ourselves small goals for our blog. So like, it was like, no, we just want to have content. And then I think there was one year that we were like, we want free stuff is what we want. And then all of a sudden, it kind of started to happen. We got some free stuff. And then as this was all developing, we started growing a small following on Instagram. The people from the tour who was pushing us to start the blog, they kind of fell off. They didn't care about the blog. But we found other people, strangers, people we didn't know, were showing us so much love and affection. And then 4 years ago, I guess now, we got an email from HGTV. And they were like, hey, we've noticed you on Instagram. Do you guys want to have a, they gave us like a trial. We did 10 trial social videos with them for the holidays, 5 Halloween and 5 Christmas. And they thought we worked really well. And that new year, they offered us a job doing their YouTube channel and also making social videos for their Facebook, Instagram, and all their social medias. And that was really when our, you know, it started to present itself as a full-time career.
Yeah, that's amazing. Our journeys are so parallel. It's really interesting because I started my first blog, the food blog, out of necessity, coming off a bunch of theater gigs and then finding myself in the recession, you know? And there was no room for short Latin boys who sang classical musical theater, you know, all of a sudden, because there wasn't that much room there to begin with. And so that kind of trajectory, I can relate to very, very much so in that sense of, you know, just out of necessity and hustling and, you know, taking all the love from all the strangers I could get, you know?
Yes, yes. And that's what's so crazy about life. You know, we're always like, what do you want to be when you grow up? But nobody realizes that you're going to be so many different things as you grow up. It's like you follow all your different passions and you kind of never know which one is going to take off.
Speaking about growing up, you make an interesting point right there about you're going to be a lot of different things as you grow up. And I'm sure the two of you have had different journeys before you met each other and coming up and coming out. And I always say that our stories are each unique and each equally important because we never know who's listening. And I'd kind of like to know what both of your journeys were like in coming out.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I come from a Latin background as well. My parents are Cuban. I'm first generation American. So coming out to them was really hard. They did not understand it. They didn't know any gay people, apparently. So they just took it really hard and personal. And I grew up Catholic, and, you know, so I didn't come out till college. I was in the closet throughout high school. I didn't have one person to talk to. And then when I got to college, I was strong enough to be like, I'm going to go into college like as a gay man. I'm going to tell people that. And then I accidentally came out to my parents. It was just like, you know, like dad found the search history on the computer, you know, and then it just got to
you were looking up how to make paper roses or something.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Paper rose buds.
Hey, yes. Hey, listen, put that in your mouth.
You know, so my parents didn't take it well, and then they actually sent me to therapy just to talk things over. And I said I would go to therapy if they went to therapy. And thank God my therapist was, you know, very progressive and like was always on my side and was like, I'm not going to try to change you. So it was really just talking about like my relationship with my parents. And luckily my parents learned a lot from going to therapy as well. I mean, it took about 5 years to get to a solid place where they are like, I mean, they're now so comfortable and like things are so great. But, you know, it took a bit of time.
Yeah, I mean, but that's beautiful that like, because not everybody has that. Not everybody has parents that want to understand that, that like that therapy turns into a very different, very scary kind of therapy or whatnot for people. So like, you know, that's a beautiful journey and a beautiful end to that piece of the story, you know?
Yeah, I feel really lucky to have them as parents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Dennis, like, is your journey parallel, similar, very different?
Very different. I grew up in a Catholic background as well, but I never really actually came out to my parents the way some other gay people have come out to them. My mother caught me one morning. I had my boyfriend sleeping over the night before Thanksgiving, and she kind of walked in that morning of Thanksgiving. And I went downstairs, and I kind of told her, and she was like, it's a phase, And I was like, no, mom, it ain't no phase. But I was older at that point, but I was always very comfortable with my sexuality and my, you know, being gay. And at a younger age, I was like, I coined myself as an original rent head. So I was like, a freshman year, sleeping out on the streets of Manhattan, getting tickets to Rent all the time. And I was meeting such a wide variety of different people of, you know, just all kinds of different people who really made me feel comfortable with who I was. But for whatever reason, I never really bridged that gap to my parents until later in life, about like 20 years old, I think I was. And I still had never actually come out to my father, but he kind of knew and he would make comments. And he passed away 3 years ago. And I overheard him in the hospital when Andrew had come to visit. He was like telling his roommate in the hospital, he was like, "That's Andrew Dennis's boyfriend." And that was a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, my father has always accepted me. I could have talked to him about this, but I just didn't, you know, and I never hid it. I never hid it or anything, but I just never talked about it.
Yeah. Once again, it's the struggle. The struggle is unique and real for all of us. And I want to thank you for sharing that. Right. Because like I always say this on the pod, you never know who's listening and you never know who may strike, who it may strike a chord with, and whether they be 15 or 50. And our stories are each unique and important. And on this pod, I make it a point to celebrate our community in the best and most positive way possible. Yes. So thank you for that. And Dennis, it may seem that we may have crossed paths even earlier because I was also an original Rent head. Yeah. Yes, sleeping on that street. I saw Rent like 15 times.
Yes.
So yes. So I want to know, because I thought it would be really fun. We're all stuck in quarantine. We're all stuck in the house, or I should say most of us, because some of us are acting a fool out there in the streets. But I bet this time of being kind of held up together and doing what you do has been like really great for the biz, huh?
Yeah, I think because a lot of people want to do like hands-on stuff, whether it's like cooking or crafting, there is this pressure to, you know, create more content, and people definitely seem more interested, especially people who weren't interested before, which is great. But at the same time, it's like so hard to be motivated when we're stuck at home, where it's like, I don't want to do anything, but
you just want to cuddle with the cat Teddy.
Yes.
Who's also on the pod. He's a silent observer, but I see him back there. I mean, that's incredible. I thought it would be really fun to kind of pick your brain about, like, now that we're stuck in the house and still trying to do things. Listen, I did not get the gay gene for crafting. I may have sent you a photo of a stained glass project I tried to do that.
Oh, yes.
That I failed miserably at. You know what? Where do you think that comes from? Like that, like, inherent gay gene to be like, crafting, here we go. And it's just like that, like, create, you know, that one I didn't get. I got all the other ones, but that one.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely didn't get like the sports gene. So I guess I'm lucky. Yeah. I got like a crafting gene. I don't know.
Yeah. But I think all gay people are naturally creative humans. You know, so if you're not doing the crafting, you're doing something else, you know. Yeah. That's creative and just as great.
And yeah, we grew up with like moms who crafted a lot. So yes, we kind of grew up crafting.
Yes. And decorating, you know, so
it probably comes from there too.
It's in it's in the genes. I see. Mm-hmm. It's in the Jordache genes. Yeah, of it all. So if we're going to be like crafting and kind of hosting these Zoom parties, have you found like interesting and fun ways to kind of pep that up for people or for yourselves even? Is that like kind of something you've done and put out there in the world?
Yeah, actually we did a virtual craft night, which was super fun because in the beginning, everybody was jumping on Zoom, connecting with friends, people you haven't heard from in a while. And we thought it'd be fun to get friends together to do a virtual craft night. We made some cards and just shot the shit, you know, and colored, and it was super fun.
Yeah, I think like a good tip is like just don't overthink it. Just like have people get what they have at home and like set up a time to do a craft night. And just, you know, even if you're all just doodling while talking, at least it's an activity that you can do together. And it just, it's a little different from just like hanging out on Zoom.
And if someone wants to start crafting, not this guy over here, this jerk, right? Who's like, I'm going to pick something really hard to start crafting.
I know, you took an advanced craft.
I did take an advanced craft. I was like, I can do this. But listen, let me tell you, I figured, how is this any different from all the cooking I do? I started custom cake baking. Can you tell I'm from Brooklyn? And I taught myself that, and I was making these crazy custom cakes forever for people. So I was like, yeah, I can like make some faux stained glass thing happen. Can't be that hard. Nope. I'm not allowed to touch it. Not allowed to touch a spray can ever again.
Oh my God. Like,
that's it. I've learned. But if people want to like begin, like where does one kind of start in this like world?
I think now they sell so many different craft kits for beginners, and it comes with like everything in the craft kit with instructions. And now everything's online. You can find a YouTube tutorial to go with it. And I kind of think it's just like hone into what you're good at. Like I cannot draw or like doodle for my life, but Andrew is really good at that. So if I were, maybe I would hone into my drawing skills and just kind of start to doodle here and there, or if you like to Mod Podge,
yeah,
which is so easy.
Or like, I
love to Mod Podge.
Yes. See, there you go. You're a good crafter.
Yeah. Like, also, like, think about like what you like to do in art, like in elementary school. Yeah. Kind of do a Google search and see what's out there today. Like, if you like clay, like get some Sculpey polymer clay. Don't put a lot of weight on it, and don't spend a ton of money up front. Like, don't buy like the best of the best. Just like dabble a little bit.
I'm just always extra. Just always.
That's
extra. I'm like, yeah, I could do that, and nope. Some of that I can't do, and I just have to realize that's okay. That's okay. Do you feel like it relieves like the anxiety and the stress of it all, especially with like everything that's happening around you now or around us, like, you know, in the world?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think crafting, yes, is like definitely a stress relief. It's a way for people to
zone out
for sure.
Yes. We worked on a project this morning and it was a painting project. And as I was doing it, I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. I'm feeling this right now. Just because it was, you know, sometimes we don't get to craft for enjoyment anymore. Now we're crafting a lot for work, for cash. So sometimes that takes the fun out of it, you know? Or we're putting a lot of pressure on ourselves. We want things to be perfect, you know? So it's a little overwhelming at times. So we don't really craft for pleasure anymore. But today I was in the zone. I was vibing it. And I was like, I miss this, you know?
Yeah, some pantsless crafting. Yes! I saw on the Instagram. I was like, do I greet them pantsless on the pod just to be like, yeah? No, I had to put on like something flowery for you. I felt it appropriate. How is it working together as a couple?
Oh,
what?
It's the best of times. It's the worst of times. I would say just like working with anybody in with something that's creative can always be a struggle, just because, you know, I have my idea, he has his idea. Now, how do we mix them together, or which way do we take?
But I think that's what's good about our working relationship is that we both have our strengths and weaknesses, and we're the kind of perfect yin and yang.
Yeah.
Where Andrew is not, you know, so strong. I think I exceed, which you're not, or which you're stronger. I'm not, you know. So we, or you don't think so?
Yeah, is that
right? I know. We have a nice work balance, though. I mean, it takes a while to get there sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes it'll be like crazy tension. It'll just be but then, you know, once it's over, it's like done.
Yeah, I wish In Your Mouth listeners, you could have just seen that dynamic, that visual dynamic on screen. Like, no, it was great just to watch you two kind of like check in. Is this okay? What do we say?
You know,
Can I say this, right? That it was really, really cute to watch. That's funny. Well, you know what? I want to take a quick break from all the crafting talk to take you into my favorite part of the pod and the audience's favorite part of the pod, a little something I like to call Food News Update.
Food News Update.
Food News. Ooh, honey, you ain't ready, girl. Spill the tea.
News Update.
Heinz is selling kits that turn their famous savory sauces into ice cream.
What?
Their faces, guys. How's that for a craft project?
Oh, like ketchup and mustard?
Yes. Hold on. So thank you, Delish.com, for this gem. These kits come with one of Heinz's famous sauces and everything you need to turn that sauce into a sweet sorbet. Of course, there's a ketchup option, but there are also kits available in mayo, barbecue, saucy sauce, and salad cream flavors. Along with the sauce, each box comes with a recipe card, a reusable ice cream tub, a gold spoon, and a gold ice cream scoop.
Wow.
Wow. How do we feel?
I mean, it's not something I feel great about, but you know, I think it could be fun. Might as well try it. We were talking with Andrew's sister the other day about she had made once sweet potatoes with sprinkles.
Sprinkles on top.
And it was kind of like a sweet potato, not, yeah.
Yeah, it was like an alternative for marshmallows, I guess.
Yes. And she was like, try it once. Why not? You know, I think if you're down with that, I love barbecue sauce.
Yeah. So like a barbecue vegan ice cream or a barbecue. I mean, that actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that actually might not be terrible because it's kind of a, if you get like a really sweet barbecue sauce, I forget which is which, like that, like Nashville barbecue, that Tennessee barbecue, as opposed to like Texas barbecue, yes. You know, one sweeter and one's more vinegary than the other, you know? But if you get like a really sweet, like sweet Baby Ray's or something like that, or I don't know if I've had Heinz barbecue sauce, but I don't even know what salad cream is. Is that mayonnaise?
I don't know.
Am I a terrible food person for not knowing what salad cream is?
This
what is this? 1956 or something.
It's like a Miracle Whip type thing. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. So they retail for $17 bucks a pop. If you want to try it, throw that into your crafting toolkit. Why don't you? The gold scooper, I am here for. You know, that could be cute. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe $17 bucks is just worth it for the gold spoon and the gold scooper. Yes. Right? Give the rest as a housewarming gift.
Yes.
The Trader Joe's podcast just leaked a bunch of dessert flavored beers. Are you beer people?
We are. Yeah.
Yes. I knew that. I knew that. Yeah. Instagram.
Yeah.
So this sounds good.
Did you know Trader Joe's has a podcast? It's very popular, right? Oh. Almost as popular as In Your Mouth, but you know, I love, shout out to you, Trader Joe's, but they love to like leak new, like exclusive Trader Joe's products that are coming out. And have you had the cookie butter, the speculoos from Trader Joe's vegan?
It is.
You can eat that. Yeah. It's so delicious. So they were like, we couldn't have a cookie butter without making a good cookie butter beer, you know, and it had to taste as what's just as good as what's in the jar. A Trader Joe's product developer, Catherine Rhodes, said on the podcast. So it's going to obviously be more of a dessert beer. You know, I don't think I've ever had a dessert beer, but I don't know. They're also putting out this fall a toasty cookie spice cider.
Oh, I'm here for that. That sounds good, like Christmas in your mouth.
Yes, and you know what? I haven't had, Christmas or anything else in my mouth for months. So I will be here for that. There's also a there's also a coffee peanut butter cup porter, which will come out during what I think is your favorite holiday, Halloween.
Yes.
Right? You're big Halloween people, right? Yeah. Or did I get that wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Right? I thought so.
And we love coffee.
I mean, who doesn't? Right? I think we're here for this, Trader Joe's. And if you want to send us all some, we will come back on this pod gladly to do a live tasting. I think we can all agree on that.
100% we're here for that. Yes.
An online petition wants a statue of Christopher Columbus to be replaced with one of Chef Boyardee. I didn't know about this till I actually read this article, because obviously Christopher Columbus statues are coming down all over America here, and there's a petition out in Cleveland, Ohio, out to replace one that stands in Cleveland's Little Italy with the iconic Ettore Boyardee, aka Chef Boyardee. This petition reads, born in Piacenza, Ettore immigrated to the U.S. at age 16 in 1914. He eventually moved to Cleveland, where he opened a restaurant, Il Giardino d'Italia, that was so popular that people asked him to bottle his sauce for them. They're saying that it's time for Cleveland to remove its statue of a genocidal sociopath with a bowl cut and erect a statue to an immigrant success story who enriched the community with his food and iconic mustache, right? And it's two people would...
Cleveland,
that sounds great.
Yeah, at first you're like, what the fuck? What is going on? After you're like, oh, okay, you know what?
100%.
Right? When's the last time you've had some Chef Boyardee?
Oh my God, it has been
a long time.
Years. I mean, I used to love it as a kid. I thought it was such a treat.
Yeah, right before the quarantine, I did a podcast with a friend of mine tasting all sorts of canned foods, because there was talk about going into lockdown. This is before we were even going to do that. And we were like, well, if we have to go into lockdown, what canned foods do we want to be like stuck with if we're like stuck? And so we did like Spam and canned corned beef and all the Chef Boyardee flavors. And let me tell you, Chef Boyardee tastes exactly the same as you remember it.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure.
You know? So I don't think you're missing it, but I think I am here for this petition to replace this statue with this great story of someone who did something great for their community, right?
Yeah.
And with that, I think there's a great way to end the food news update. I hope this left you a little bit inspired and a little bit, you know, it's great. It's great trivia for later. You know, I'm full of useless food news knowledge thanks to the pod. What made you boys go vegan?
Oh my gosh.
You go.
Well, it started with Andrew's sister, who's the OG vegan.
Wait, the Andrew's sisters?
Andrew's sister, Jennifer.
What were they like?
Vegan.
Yes. Right? That's kind of how it started.
Yeah, it started with my sister, and she had been talking about it for a long time. Backtrack. I actually went dairy-free before we even considered going vegan, because my skin was really bad. And I was like in my mid-30s and I was breaking out. I was using Proactive. I was using everything and nothing was helping. And the one thing I kept hearing was like, get off of dairy. But I kept being like, I cannot get off of dairy. But then I just like did it because I couldn't take it anymore. And then I was like, okay, I'm into this. And then I started talking with my sister, and she was kind of saying how she wanted to go vegan as well. And she was kind of taking steps towards that. But Dennis really was against it. He's like a meat and potatoes kind of guy, like all the hamburgers, all the cheese.
All the bacon, egg, and cheese. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. There's nothing like a New York bodega bacon, egg, and cheese.
Oh,
Hell yeah. That's like the one thing we really miss a lot. Mm-hmm. That and gummy worms, apparently. But then Dennis's dad passed away, and like we just started thinking about our health. And Dennis's dad was pretty young. Mm-hmm.
So then we knew we wanted to make a change, but we weren't willing to work out. So we thought we would change our diet. And I also had issues with arthritis in my feet. So I was taking pain medication and inflammation medication, and I was also using feet insoles, shoe insoles, which were $800 per foot.
Because they're like those like old people insoles.
Yes, they told me I had the feet of a 90-year-old man.
Wow.
July 5th, 4 years ago, we had all the meat and sausages and burgers on July 4th, and then July 5th, we just went cold no turkey, and we went vegan. Within 2 weeks, I was off my pain medications, off inflammation. I do not wear my insoles anymore. Andrew's skin cleared up, and we haven't looked back.
That's a really incredible, and my listeners are going to make me eat my words, I'm sure, because I was talking about veganism on last week's pod, just because all these celebrities are vegan now. Everybody's vegan, right? Lizzo just went vegan. Mm-hmm. Everybody's vegan. So it's like, what are they not telling us? You know, what do they know that we don't? And I was like, being vegan is not easy, I said. And no shade to the vegans out there, because I love everybody. But would you disagree?
I think now it's much easier than it was before, because now they have all of the, what they call fake meat, which is like pea protein, which is the Beyond Meat Impossible Burger. There's so many different types of vegan, non-dairy cheese options. So I think now it's a little easier, but I think maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it was a little harder because I don't think there were that many options.
Do you think it's
now
more
even like Burger King has the Impossible Whopper? It seems like it's popping up more and more. So I think it depends on also what type of vegan you want to be, because there's like a junk food vegan, healthy vegan, where we kind of fall in the middle. You know, I still love to eat. I love junk food.
What's your like go-to junk food?
Oh, I mean, I love potato chips and I love French fries and I also love Oreos.
Yeah. That cream in the middle isn't cream?
No, it's vegan. They're accidentally vegan.
Accidentally vegan.
All the time. Yeah. Even for a while, people wouldn't know what to bring if they came over. So like people would just come with a bag of Oreos or like, you know, the little Oreo tray. And like we would get five one night and they're like, here's Oreos. We're like, oh God.
Yeah.
But they're so good.
I would say like, for some reason, like we just started doing like a lot of research before we went vegan, and we still try to watch like documentaries about, you know, animal cruelty, what it's doing to the earth and stuff like that. And then it's just kind of like a light switch. Like I don't miss the foods I did. And I was not a picky eater. I love to eat everything, but it just, you know, it doesn't seem as hard as I thought it would. That was a huge misconception. And another one is that like, I thought I would really miss things to the point where like I would miss things daily. And I don't. Of course, there's times where I'm thinking about like, oh, like the meal my mom would cook for like December 24th or something like that. And I have nostalgia for that, but there are so many recipes out there, so many vegan like chefs out there that you can find inspiration. You can find things to replace those like things that are near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, yeah. Sidebar, do you know, related to crafting and Oreos over Christmas released, I think it was over Christmas, released a record player that you could put your Oreo on and it would spin and play like some sort of song.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And you would build it. It was like a cardboard record player that you would build. Look it up. It's everything.
Oh my gosh. I'm surprised we missed that, because we love the like seasonal Oreos. They do like a spring one, an Easter one, a
Halloween one.
Yeah. So we always like look forward to those. And I'm surprised we missed that.
Yeah. Why is Halloween? I think we said Halloween's like your favorite of the holidays. Yes. Why Halloween?
Oh my gosh. I think because Halloween, you can just get away with anything. You know, it really has no limits.
Yeah, yeah. When like decorating for Halloween, like you can make something as like ugly as you want it. You can go as crazy as you want it. Like,
and it would still be great.
Christmas is like a very close second. It's definitely like a tie. But with Christmas, I feel like you want like a polished look. You want things to look really nice. But Halloween, it's just like, do whatever you want. Like, just make it creepy.
Yeah, no rules.
Does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I've noticed that you were making lots of trees lately, or like every holiday now has a tree. There's a Halloween yes. tree. There's an Easter tree. There's a that's big in the crafting world for some reason.
I know. Well, yeah. What do you think about that?
What do I listen? I live in 120. I live in 120 square feet in Times Square, right? Although there's a tree that goes up every year for Christmas. Yes. It quickly comes down because there's barely any room in here for me and my autographed photo of Lainey Kazan. You
know? Yeah. I know we never thought we would be those weird tree people, but we definitely have gotten into it.
I know. It's so weird. It's like, I definitely judged those people before we turned into them, but it's just, it's fun. I feel like, you know, decorating a Halloween Christmas tree seems so bizarre, but then it's kind of the same thing. It's like, well, it's weird as it is. So just like do whatever you want. Decorating a, I don't know, an Easter yes. Christmas tree, like that's bizarre. Just do whatever.
And then this going back, I don't know if we talked about this earlier or before, but like if we will do anything for money or for work or for free product. So they're like, hey, would you decorate a tree? We're like, okay. Show me the money. Yeah, so that's kind of how it started to happen, but I'm obsessed, you know.
Yeah, careful what you say. These queens will slide quick into your DMs, honey. All
right. Don't mind it.
You know, oh my God, Charles Chen, who you know, said the same thing, whom I love. There's so many people I've had on this pod that were like, hey, y'all want to slide into it hasn't happened yet, but if I'm just going to let y'all know out there, if it happens, it better happen to the both of us.
Okay? Yes, yes.
Because I want to see it too. Oh my God, this has been so much fun. Final question of the day here. Obviously, I'm a food hostess, right? If you had like two tips, like two like ultimate hosting tips, right, for people out there, even though you shouldn't be having parties, right? So on your Zoom parties or whatnot, you know? Or in your quarantine bubble with your roommates or whatnot, what would that be? Like, what do you think the key is to hosting? And not like dim lights and blindfolds, not that kind of hosting.
I think one thing that we always like to have whenever we host gatherings or friends is an activity or a game. Just if you can't be like spending one-on-one time with your guests, that they can go off and kind of do their own thing. I always think of like the dog at the party when you have a moment and you're like, oh, thank God there's a dog here because I have no one to talk to. Or like, so we like to do that with either an activity, a craft or something where it's kind of a good icebreaker for people to get to know each other. And also just to have something to do.
Yeah.
And then the other one, one? Was just like, people are so good with like your energy. It's like if you're feeling stressed out or like anxious, like your guests are going to feel stressed out and anxious. So I think it's like always good to try to like mellow out. The way the night is going to happen, it's going to happen.
And,
you know?
And like never feel like afraid to ask people for help. I feel like, you know, like we want to like throw a party and not make anyone feel inconvenienced, but you know, people want to be there to help. They're your friends. They're there for a reason, especially people who aren't there with a big group. You know, I always like it when I go to a party alone. I'm like, can I help you with something? Like, give me a task, you know?
That's
so
good. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Well, let the kids know where they can find you, what's coming up next. You know, if you're doing a live with Miss Rachel Ray or something.
Well, you can find us at Crafty Lumberjacks. Pretty much anywhere, just Crafty Lumberjacks, just search that. And I don't know, I guess we're kind of slowly thinking about Halloween. We usually start decorating in August, if you can believe it, just because we want to pump out so much content. So we're kind of creeping up on that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Do you not mind living in the house with like Halloween in August?
No, I love that. I love that.
I guess that could be fun. I mean, like I said, my space is so tiny that anything extra in here, because there's already a lot in here, that it's like,
Much.
It's gotta go. It's gotta go.
Yarn spider webs. We're gonna send you a yarn spider web. That's a good one. It's flat on your wall. It's good.
Okay. You know what? Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll do it. Oh my God. Thank you so much for taking time out from your very, very busy schedule for my big gay podcast. I really appreciate you coming on to tell your stories, to celebrate you, and just giving me your time. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I really, really appreciate it.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, we had so much fun.
Yeah, anytime. And as always, out there, stay safe. If you're hitting the streets or going to a restaurant or anything, wear your masks, wash your hands. And as always, thank you for listening to In Yo Mouth. Yo.